Hey everybody, this is Jen. Welcome back to Java and Genuflections. Late night musings, 2 a.m. recordings. I think it's 02:21. And, you know, I'm awake. And this time not because I'm afraid to sleep. That fear of sleeping, there's an episode that you may have missed about, you know, fear of falling asleep. That's not why I'm awake this time. I'm awake. I've got something to say. I, interestingly enough, had to choose between doing the podcast and going to sleep. And I don't know which would have been the more responsible option, but I chose to stay awake and make this podcast. So I'm sure all of us have had the experience where we read a book that was right on time, changed our perspective, and just really reached us, okay? And I know some of you are going to be like, what? That guy? Look, the book that has hands down made the most impact on my life to this point is Green Lights by Matthew McConaughey. I know he's the all right guy. He's the shirtless volleyball playing, naked bongo playing, pot smoking guy, right? That's a persona that, you know, was presented. And, you know, after reading his book numerous times, that's not all that there is. And that's also completely valid. You know, those experiences are completely valid. And his book just, I don't know. I listened to it on audiobook. I really felt like it was the most impactful in his own voice with him reading it. It just really lit something inside of me. So today I'm going to talk about just a couple of the concepts, and I'll probably come back to this over and over again, because although I am making these podcasts to help other people and share information and to gather information, I'm also journaling to you guys. I'm also sharing my thoughts as though this was like a dear diary moment. And in the meantime, I'm learning things about myself and working things out. And so people are coming along on the ride for that. And I hope people are coming along on the ride. I don't have a ton of listeners, but I appreciate the ones that I have. So, Green Lights. Matthew McConaughey apparently was a voracious journalist. Is that the right word? He journaled a lot. He had been journaling for 37 years. As the story goes, he'd been journaling for 37 years. Good, bad, ugly. He likes to write down bumper stickers that he sees, but everything that happens in his life and, you know, dreams, everything, he's been journaling. Then at one point, for I don't know why, he decided to go and lock himself away, sort through everything, and put it into a book. You know, I was very much, I don't know what a celebrity is going to be able to tell me about anything, because, you know, this guy's got it easy. He's got money. He's famous. He's sexy. You know, he's got a hot wife, yada, yada, yada. He's got everything, right? But, you know, sometimes people who have those kinds of things are actually, you know, they have some good ideas. And if they're willing to share how they got where they got, that might be nice. Might be a good idea to listen. But I don't even think that this book is about that. This book, and I don't even know how he really intended it to come across when he authored it, okay? I think he was, you know, sharing his journals up until this point and figuring stuff out as he was compiling his journals. I think he was telling up his life's work up until that point and, you know, committing to paper what it meant, you know, to him. And I don't think it's meant to be advice or anything at all. But as I was listening to it, my life, I started thinking about my life. So it's the premise of, we have green lights in our life. We have red lights, yellow lights, and green lights. Okay. Green lights, everything's going really well. You can move forward, right? You get the job, you get the contract, you make the big sale or whatnot. That's a green light. Okay. Red light, somebody dies. You get a divorce. You know, something where you're stopped in your tracks. Okay. And yellow light, well, you don't know if they're going to be red or if they're going to be green, but you're in kind of a holding pattern to see, you know, what it's going to be. And this book really helped change the way I thought about my situations. So going into reading the book, I was just really in this bad headspace. I'm not saying that I'm not back in that headspace on, you know, time and time again, but you know, it's just in this really negative headspace of, you know, what's going to happen to me? I'm disabled. You know, what's going to happen, you know, as I get older? What does my future look like? And I really had kind of a negative spin on it. I just kind of had a negative, it's not going to, whatever I get is what's left and it's less than. Being disabled at a relatively young age, not having savings, not having, you know, 401k, not having retirement. My kids are, you know, very nearly grown. My whole thing was 47 years old when I read this book, 49 now. My whole thing was I'm done. There's really nowhere to go. So I'm just kind of adrift. And, you know, one of my ideas has been living in an RV, because living in an RV is relatively affordable compared to like traditional rent. There are expenses, don't get me wrong. But that was kind of like my default, I guess, of, well, you know, I'm going to be struggling or whatnot. So, you know, I will take this. And that is not how I feel anymore after listening to Matthew McConaughey's book. Partially because this very wealthy man of means chose to live in an RV, and he and his family go back to living in the RV, the canoe, at various periods of time. I mean, this is a man who thinks best while driving, and so he bought an RV, named it the Canoe, and drove it cross country. And he would have meetings with people, and he would pick them up in Denver and drive them to Lincoln, Nebraska to the airport. So that's about 8-9 hour drive. And he would just, that's how they would have their meeting, is he would drive and they would talk and plan. And, you know, he comes up with great ideas. And so the fact that he was living in an RV, pulling an RV, was actually freeing. It actually helped him to build his businesses. It helped him to help get to where he wanted to be. It wasn't, oh my God, you live in a trailer, you live, you know, it was never less than or bad. It was just different. And so it took me, I think, about my second time through the book, I've read it numerous times, to really be like, you know what, this is not a less than situation. If you don't have to settle for living in a trailer, you can choose to live in an RV if that's what you want to do. But I realize I have a lot more options than I think, because when I read the book, when I first started reading the book, this, it was October of 2020. I got it almost immediately. I was at very much at a point in my mind where I was like, everything is a red light. Everything was the red light. And I just wasn't going to be able to accomplish anything. My business was going to stay small. And I say that with my business is still small, but I intend for it to be big. Yeah, I was just in this headspace of stuck in a townhouse that I didn't like, that was run down and nasty and bad. And when I started looking at changing my mindset to thinking of my situation in terms of red light, yellow light, green light, it made things feel less bad. And it put more hope into my situations. But this is really not, it's not a life coach book. It's not life advice book. It's, you read it and you feel it, kind of a thing. And I've seen comments about other people feeling it that way. I mean, unfortunately, I don't know anybody else who's read this book. But it's a phenomenal book. And it just, you know, I'm thinking much less of a, not even so much negative, but I feel a lot more free, I guess. There's a lot more opportunity than when I first started reading the book. But like I said, it wasn't just happy. There are parts of the book that really, in my case, this is my interpretation of it, there are parts of the book that kind of irritated me. And the one part of the book is where he talks about discipline and, you know, he really pushes discipline a lot. And he doesn't really call it self-discipline, but I think some people could interpret it to be self-discipline. And he talks about, I don't remember the words that he uses, but my takeaway from it was that he's talking about a lot about ritual and routine and discipline. And if you develop a routine, make sure it's a good one. You have a choice between good habits and bad habits, and so make sure you're choosing good habits. This portion of the book really bothered me. It really, really bothered me. And I wasn't sure why at first. It just really stuck in my craw that he was talking about discipline and choices and habits and all of those things. And I realized that the reason the section of the book where he talks about discipline bothers me is because I don't have enough discipline in my life. I have not developed the good routines, the positive routines that choke out any bad habits, not any bad habits, but leave less room for bad habits. Because if you have really strong rituals and habits and good traits and good habits, there's less room for the bad because there's just less time for it. So one of the concepts is discipline equals freedom. Discipline equals freedom. That, I did not like that. I didn't like it at all. And, you know, there's all these different things running through my head, you know, oh, he's got privilege. He's, you know, he doesn't know what he's talking about, you know, because I'm disabled and I've got this and I've had these things happen and all this. It's not what it's about. He is simply, you know, he is saying, if you have self-discipline and do what needs to be done, you will have more freedom. An example would be, I really procrastinate a lot of things. And that procrastination means that, number one, while I'm procrastinating it, I'm having the anxiety. And I still have to accomplish whatever it was. So I've dragged out, through my lack of discipline and my procrastination, I have dragged out this event that should have lasted a day because it should have been done on its deadline. I've dragged it out to 12, 14, 15, however many days. And I don't have freedom from that thing. So it can be freedom from anxiety. It can be freedom from obligation. It can be freedom from doing certain kinds of work. You know, freedom can mean a lot of different things. To me, what this means to me right now is that discipline equals freedom in a couple different ways. Number one, if I were to have more discipline in cleaning up my house, as you know, every single night. We're just going to use every night as an example. If I get my house clean every night before I went to bed, when I wake up in the morning, I would have more freedom to do different things other than picking up. And if I have the discipline to make sure that my granddaughter picks up after herself, we will have more freedom to do other things. It is unreasonable for me to expect myself to have everything cleaned up before I go to bed every night. I have a level that I'm happy to accept. And that's okay, because this discipline has to fit in with where you are in reality. This is just me riffing off of what I take away from the book. Once again, not a self-help book, not a life advice book. I'm just telling you my takeaway from the book and how it's impacted me, okay? So if I take care of these things in a timely fashion, I have more freedom to do what it is I want to do afterwards. If a person has financial discipline early on, they have financial freedom later, potentially. Things can go wrong. There's no perfect solution. But if you're disciplined with your money at a young age and you plan and you save, you are more likely to have financial freedom as you age, right? So discipline to get the education, discipline to put money away every paycheck, you know, discipline not to spend out, you know, to carry out and those kinds of things. That kind of discipline makes your senior years older, easier, you know, whenever, however old you are, it makes it easier. And that was tough for me to get, because I haven't always had the discipline. And so I've had a combination of lack of discipline coupled with lack of resources. And yeah, I mean, I think that I could have done things better to prevent myself from getting in this place. I am sick, you know, I have these chronic illnesses from, you know, genetic issues. There's, you know, these disorders that I have are nothing that I have brought upon myself, nothing that I've caused. And so that is not a lack of discipline issue. But I think I could have been more disciplined about other things that would have made my life easier. Now, one big one that comes to my mind, I would get a massive tax return when I had my kids. And well, I still have my kids, but when they were little. And I would use it for very reasonable things. Like I would spend like $2,000 on food. So I would stock up and we would have groceries for like the first 6 months of the year. 3, 4, 6, depending. But I would buy enough meat for 6 months because the meat sale and my tax return usually came about the same time. So I would go and just buy a ton of meat, put it in the deep freeze. I had a pantry in the basement, and I would just stock up on everything. You know, catch up on bills, catch up on the kids' clothes, those kinds of things. If I had taken one of those checks and just paid off my car, it would have made a whole lot more sense. So I'm looking back, I'm like, okay, I didn't have the knowledge, but I also didn't necessarily have the discipline to spend those tax returns as wisely as I should have. And, you know, I'm not kicking myself over it now because it's done, but I think it's a good example of how if I had had more discipline then, might have a newer car now, might have more savings now. It's hard to say, but that's how I feel about it. I think that there's more of a possibility for me to have a better future if I have more discipline now. So what does this discipline look like? Well, for me, when we moved to this new house, I started new habits of trying to keep things tidier. Deep clean more frequently, vacuum more frequently, which now I have the iRoomba from my daughter and my son, I think. So that has made things a lot better. But just trying to keep things better, nicer, make it, you know, make it easier, you know, so that I don't have chaos, can't have anyone over syndrome. Because it used to be that my house was, you know, so messy all the time that I felt like I couldn't let anybody in because it was such a mess. Well, now my house is clean. It might be cluttered, but it's clean. There might be dishes in the sink, but it's clean. My house has, since we moved, my house has never been dirtier than what would take an hour to clean up. And that's like for the entire thing. I can walk through my house, the entire thing, and have it picked up and, you know, floors cleaned and everything in an hour, which I think that's fine with me. This is a 1700 square foot house. I think that's pretty good. And that's my goal. It has to be able to be picked up in short order, in short notice. And that's not something I had before. And this discipline that I'm maintaining now, it's giving me freedom later, because when I want to do something, I can't. I don't have to be like, oh, we got to pick up and this. No, I can just do it. And it's good. Another way to have discipline so I can have freedom later is I'm making these podcasts. And, you know, when I'm not disciplined about making them or building content or writing down my ideas of what I do, you know, when I'm not disciplined about that, my content's not as good. And, you know, a few weeks ago it happened, I got sick and I ran out of content. And so I went for like a week without posting because I was sick. Now I make sure that I create on a, you know, consistent basis so that it's always there. There's a lot more opportunity than we think if we maintain a certain amount of discipline. If you put the hours in on the front, it's going to be easier on the back. I think Matthew McConaughey describes it and explains it much better in the book than what I can do right now. And it's really, I'm sharing my takeaway and I'm not sure what the takeaway is that he intended, but discipline is probably the hardest thing that I had to confront when I was listening to his book, because I really, you know, when he's talking about it, I sat and thought about all the times in my life that I have lacked discipline. And I don't think that that's bad for me to say, you know, there were times in my life and there are times now in certain ways that I lack discipline. And until I, you know, acknowledged it, there really wasn't anything I could do about it. And now I know it, so I can pick and choose how to address it. And when I say pick and choose, you know, some things I'm just not going to be great at changing. And so I have to find workarounds. But I imagine, I mean, really, when you think about it, me finding a workaround for something, that is being disciplined. Because in the past, I would have just ignored it, ignored an issue until it was gone, or prolonged for so long that it was infinitely more painful. And now I'm like, well, let's be proactive about the situation and admit my shortcomings, admit what I'm not good at, admit what I struggle with, and do something about it up front. Just take care of it. Like the example that I'm thinking of is mailing things. I am terrible. I'm terrible about shipping things. I'm terrible about mailing. So, you know, moving forward, anytime I sell anything that needs to be shipped, I'm getting it set up that the carriers are just going to come to the stoop and pick it up. They're going to pick it up at the house. That's what I'm going to have set up. Because I'm sure as my daughter gets more and more orders for Christmas at Bubby's, when she takes it over, there will be a lot. And I hate going to the post office. I mean, sometimes there's days where I, you know, it'll go for a day long, you know, several day long stretch where I don't feel well enough to go. And I have a fear of going to mail things. And there's a reason for that, and I know what it is. And I thought that I was pretty much past it, and I don't think I am, and that's fine. So I'm being disciplined by knowing myself and anticipating what I can't do. I can't go ship things. I can't do it. So I'm going to have the shipping person come to me, come to Phoebe. I think that's what makes good sense. So I don't know. This book was just so very powerful. And there were just so many lessons in it. And, you know, one being like with the canoe, him choosing to live in an RV. And when he and Camilla got married, you know, according to the book, there's times that he and his kids and Camilla go and live in the RV together. I mean, I imagine that they have an impressive house on their ranch. And they choose to go and live in this RV together for whatever reason. I don't know. But what I do know is that he doesn't feel it's beneath him. They don't feel it's beneath them. If it's not beneath a multi-million dollar actor, if it's not beneath someone who has all of this money, why would it be beneath me? And he's not in some, you know, giant fancy schmancy, well, I mean, okay, it's an Airstream, the top of the line Airstream. So yes, they are expensive, but it's not like a motor coach, right? It's an Airstream, and yes, they can be very fancy, but it's not, you know, the big giant bus things, right? If we think about things from a different place and a different perspective, sometimes we can change how we feel and change the trajectory of our life, really. Honestly, I feel a lot more open and I feel like I have a lot more opportunities and options than I did before I read the book, because before I read the book, I really had a lot of preconceived notions about what was okay, what was, you know, and what was good and what was bad and what was a failure and what wasn't. And yeah, I see failure very, very differently than I did prior to reading the book. I've always thought that failure was necessary and okay because it teaches you, or if you use failure right, it teaches you. Now, I don't see the same things as failures that I used to see. You know, I used to, you know, think, well, you're a failure if you go and you do this. No, that's not true at all. We have to live our lives in a way that makes sense for our situations, for our personalities, for our physical abilities, for our financial abilities. Lots of different ways to see the same situation. Some are good and some are not so good. So, yeah, I really recommend reading Matthew McConaughey's book, Green Lights. It came out in October of 2020, and I think it was really right on time. So, yeah. You guys, I really appreciate you listening to the podcast. And sharing helps me a lot. Helps me build my audience and reach more people. And I appreciate that very much. So, thank you for sharing. And I hope you have a great night. Bicycle.